All right, everybody, welcome back. We continue all the way till 6 right here on the Big Talker 1700. Time to spend a couple of minutes with Zuba Mahente from ESPN. He comes to us here on 1700. Zubin, how are you today? And here's my question, pal. Is the turf guy at the Big Ten championship game the real hero of that game?
You know, the funny thing about that game, I've always sort of thought that the idea, in a serious way, and I know you're being a little facetious, the idea that Wisconsin had played in 5 of these 7 championship games was often being ignored. And the only reason I mention that is even though every season is independent of one another, I was talking to our Reese Davis yesterday after the selections came down, actually just in the makeup room, and he made a great point, which is to say that this Alabama team, a lot of people would tell you, including our Trevor Maddich, I heard him say this on the radio Saturday, that if you take away Nick Saban's first season, right, anybody's first season is not going to be great because obviously you're coming into a situation where a coach has been fired, so there's going to be some problems. You know, even Kirby Smart was 8-5 last year. You see what you can do when the program finally finds its footing. But Trevor said, you know, that November for Nick Saban, this past November, was the worst November any Nick Saban Alabama team has had since season 1. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong. They slipped by Mississippi State. They'd been banged up. They got the Mercer game to get right. They lost to Auburn. But I think if you look at their November, most teams in America would take their November any year. Yeah, it had one loss, but to a team that had just defeated the number 1 team a couple of weeks prior. So I just think oftentimes teams are held to an impossibly high standard. Alabama is not just being measured against other teams, they're being measured against other teams that had the word Alabama on their jersey, and that's really unfortunate. And for Wisconsin, I just think they had played in 5 of the 7, and I think it's a little bit of a tired narrative, to be honest with you, that it's just so easy to win the Big Ten West. I mean, Iowa was within a whisker of making the college football playoffs, so even though Ohio State won the game, they were favored to win the game. I don't think a lot of people were surprised at the outcome. I think some people were surprised how competitive Wisconsin was. I really wasn't. I just tend to think in games like this that I just wish somebody from the Big Ten West would stand up. At the beginning of the season, it was, oh, the SEC West, the SEC West. When's the SEC East going to do anything? And then the SEC East won the SEC this year. So I just think sometimes we just have these narratives and we push them. And I think we have to be a little bit more careful because the SEC one was flipped on its head, and the Big Ten one could have easily been flipped on its head as well.
Zubin, as you go through this, one of my concerns about the selection of Alabama, I don't have a big problem with it by any means, but my concern is I believe if you had 12-1 Ohio State, didn't have that loss to Oklahoma, even with the loss to Iowa, that they would be in. If USC would have replaced the Notre Dame game with, I don't know, Nevada, that they would be in at 12-1. That we're de-emphasizing these teams going out and scheduling up in the non-conference, and we're going to go back and we're going to have even less of these good games at the beginning of the year because we're finding out all that really matters is what's behind the L column. And if it's you're a blue blood and it's 0 or 1, you're in. If you're a Wisconsin or Iowa, it's a 0, you're in. But more than anything, it's the loss column that matters. And that sets up a scary precedent in my mind.
It does, but I think it's going to be unavoidable because we don't have balanced schedules. We have one conference with 10 teams. We have another conference with 14. We have another with 14, another with 12. It's just very complicated. And you're getting yourself into a situation where I don't think you can really do anything about that. Trent, I 100% agree with what you're saying. I don't think there's any doubt what you're saying is correct. But the reality is that, just hypothetically to use one of your examples, if USC were to say, let's schedule Nevada, who had a particularly bad year, and that would take away our 5-touchdown loss to the Irish, the only reason that wouldn't happen, and I know you're dealing in a hypothetical world, is that because Notre Dame and USC don't want to end that rivalry. And there's going to be certain matchups that you're just not going to be able to do anything about, even if you feel like at the end of the day our chances to get to the playoff would be better if we put this rivalry on hold, or we did it once every few years, or maybe we played it at a neutral site instead of playing at South Bend and in Los Angeles, where it tends to give the home team the advantage in the series, at least in recent years. Maybe if we played it at some sort of neutral site where the fans could be 50-50 and they'd have no problem getting it on TV with the lineage of those two teams. But I think sometimes doing what you're saying is very difficult. I generally agree with Jesse Palmer that you're right. But Jesse seemed to believe that that Iowa loss was just unforgivable. 31 is a very difficult number to look at. Iowa, as you know, was unranked at the time, although I think everybody knows Iowa's a pretty tough out on a Saturday night at Johnson County, Iowa. That's not an easy place to play. But I think, to your point, it can't be really resolved because there's not uniformity in schedules. There's not uniformity in playing league title games until this year when the Big 12 came back. There's not uniformity in how championship games are set up. In the Big 12, it's basically the top two teams. In the other conferences, it's the best two teams from each division, which doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be getting the best two teams that are in the conference. You know what I mean? So it's very, very difficult. I 100% agree with what you're saying, but I think until you get to a point where, look, it's the NFL, we got 32 teams, we got 12 teams that make it in, two from each conference get a bye. Until you get to an egalitarian, uniform spot, I don't think anything can change in college football, and I just don't think it can. There's just too many moving parts in college football for it to change. Now, Trent, if they went to a 64-team super conference where all the big dogs got together and said, listen, here's how we're going to do it, that could be a different story. That may be what ends up happening down the road. But I just think when you look at, you have a team in the Big Ten and the Big 12, and those two teams are college football playoff dreaming when the season begins, as realistic as it might seem or as unrealistic as it might seem. They play in the FBS. They have a chance. They can get to the league title game. But look at all of the differences that and hurdles that the two teams that share your state have to go through, and think about doing that for every other team in the country when the two teams in your own state are playing such disparate ways.
It's amazing. When you frame it like that, Zubin, it's absolutely incredible. So here's my question to you. The East Coast bias of ESPN, did it do in USC? They weren't even in the conversation from the Pac-12, and yet they still had the same record as Ohio State.
Tough to say. I mean, I'm not a big believer. Working here, I'm not a big believer in East Coast bias. I'm a believer in ratings bias. If the Yankees and Red Sox get higher numbers than any two teams that play on Sunday Night Baseball, then they're going to be on Sunday Night Baseball. I mean, right. I used to work in Denver. If the Rockies want to play the Dodgers on Sunday Night Baseball at Chavez Ravine, and you're asking me if that's going to get good as ratings as the Yankees and the Red Sox, I'm going to tell you no. And we're in the business of ratings. So I would say I'm more of a ratings bias person than an East Coast bias person. I would also say that one reason I definitely think that everybody's involved in the East Coast bias and that ESPN has influence. Here's the one reason I don't think ESPN has influence. I don't know. I'm not a programming executive. I just do the scores and highlights. I don't work in that realm. But I can tell you this. Every year that the college football playoff semifinals are on December 31st is not a good day for anybody that loves college football. It's not a good day for the fans because most people are working. It's not a good day for TV because traditionally January 1 is the day when people have it off. So if ESPN had as much influence as people say, I think they could go to the College Football Playoff Committee and say, listen, you know, these December 31 games, you know, they're just not great for the fans. They're not great for our TV partners. They're not great for our ratings. And you want to be able to put out a press release the very next day, the CFP Playoff Committee, but Bill Hancock and the guys, you want to put out a press release the next day saying, look at these incredible ratings. Look at the amazing interest in college football in this country. And the best way to do that, to satisfy their ratings, to satisfy the fans, the media, ESPN, media partners, school, travel, accommodations, hotels, the best way to do it is to hold the games on January 1 and January 8 for the title game, which is exactly what it'll be this year. But there have been years, just last year, when Washington played Alabama and Ohio State played Clemson, where the games were played on December 31st, and the ratings were way down. The ratings were way down. And I don't think that has anything to do with, other than the fact that the College Football Playoff Committee just doesn't want to change them. I can't imagine my bosses at ESPN wouldn't say, let's please hold these games on January 1. It is literally better for almost every single entity that's associated with the sport of college football, from the fans to the media to the partners to the teams to the kids to the coaches and families and everybody that makes a living on college football. And to this point, the CFP Playoff Committee has not budged. There will continue to be games on December 31, alternately with January 1. So in my mind, if they really were going to be taking into account outside influences, they would say, well, you know, these networks are paying a ton of money for these games. It would be better for the fan. It'd be better for the casual fan who for years and years has woken up on January 1. And if those two groups get together, our ratings will probably be higher. But they have not budged on that. They have not budged on that one bit. My opinion generally is that if ESPN said, please move it, they might move it. But the fact that they have not moved it and kept it exactly where it is tells me they have no outside influence at all. Maybe that's naive, but I just tend to think if you're telling me you can make more money, have better ratings, and all you got to do is move the games 24 hours or 22 hours, and they've refused to make that one move, that just tells me they're doing it their way and they're not listening to anybody else.
Zubin, want to jump over to our neighbors to the west, Nebraska, as they get their guy. Scott Frost comes back home. He started his collegiate career at Stanford, then came home. He won the press conference, said all the right things. I think what happened after the game, the way that he went and celebrated with his team, I think enamored a lot of people to him as well. But we've talked ad nauseum about how Nebraska, it's a different job. College football is so much different than it was 20 years ago when they were winning national titles. Is the fan base going to give him the leeway necessary to build that program up? And what can Nebraska be in today's day and age?
I think they could be the next big power in the Big Ten. I absolutely believe it, but much of it has to do with this hire. They are not going to say, Scott, come on back 20 years in the time machine, and you're going to run the option just like you ran it as a player, and I want you to run it as a coach. They're not going to do that. And I think that's the very first sign that things are going in the right direction. They are willing to modernize. Now, let's remember, they tried to modernize with Bill Callahan, and that didn't work. But Bill Callahan was an outsider, and he wanted to completely turn the system on its ear. The black shirts, you can't do away with that. The legendary walk-on program, you can't do away with that. He tried to go in there and torch the situation. That's different. This is a guy that knows the culture, knows what it's like, has been to the pinnacle. Plus, over the course of time, college football has now evolved to the point where many schools across the country, minus, let's say, like USC and Stanford and Florida State, very few exceptions, are running some sort of version of what Frost is running, which he learned from Chip Kelly at Oregon. So I think Nebraska fans are saying, well, Ohio State's running tempo. A lot of other schools are running tempo. So this is not like the cataclysmic shift it was when Callahan came in. How can you do this? You're turning us upside down. I think Nebraska fans have kind of seen over the course of time, most schools have gone this way, and now we've got a guy that's on the leading edge of it. He's recruited the Western United States for Oregon, so he's got recruiting ties there. Obviously, he's recruited Florida and done an excellent job there. And when you're in a school like Nebraska, it's very similar to Iowa. You know, some of Kirk's best players were from Florida. I remember Fred Russell, remember him, Trent? Mm-hmm. He came out of Florida. And Brad Banks, I know, is at a JUCO in Mississippi, but he's got some Florida ties. So I think you look at it and say, he's now at the front edge of what's going on in college football. He'll be able to get higher caliber athletes because he can recruit Florida and the West Coast, and we're a low population state, so we're going to have to keep our Eric Crouches at home. We're going to have to keep those guys from leaving, which they won't have a problem with, but we're going to have to recruit nationally. And if you're telling me Boise can recruit nationally, and Washington can recruit nationally, and Iowa can recruit nationally, and Iowa State can recruit nationally. And Arizona State can recruit nationally. All disparate schools across the country. There's no doubt in my mind Nebraska can do the right thing. Plus, with the way he ended, he's going to have a bang to early signing day on December 20th to 22nd. And if somehow UCF wins that bowl game, whether he's involved or not involved or gets credit for it, that's going to be an amazing bounce towards February signing day. So I am very, very bullish on this move. I heard Tom Osborne say 3 days ago or something like that, that maybe 3 years ago, Scott Frost was ready for this job. Back then, Osborne believed he was ready for this job. And now more than ever, with what he's done, taking this team to the American Athletic Conference title, he's more than ready. And by the way, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, he was once on the staff at Northern Iowa. And so he has paid his dues coming up through UNI, coming up through Cedar Falls. It's a great story.
Zubin, running tight on time, but you were on the coaching train here, so I want you to stay there and just kind of run through what we have seen. Huge money goes from to Texas A&M, Florida State to Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher. Herm Edwards signs a big check at Arizona State, yet Tennessee has no AD, interim, or maybe they'll name Phil Fulmer the permanent guy, and no football coach. Quickly, just kind of buzz through those three big topics.
I think the Texas A&M move is a little foolish. I think Jimbo has got a national title. You can never take it away. Brilliant move. Also got them to the first college football playoff after an undefeated regular season. But the one thing about Jimbo I would say, and this is a nitpick, but it kind of isn't. If you look at the way that he is recruited, which is outstandingly well, I mean incredibly well, since about 2014, 15, 16, and 17, they have not played to the level of the way that Jimbo has recruited. Now, I understand this year with DeAndre was a little bit strange in the opener, but he's going to have to recruit like a madman in the SEC West, and he has proven the ability to recruit as well as practically anybody in the country, but it did not bear fruit after 2013 at Florida State as far as a title is concerned. At Tennessee, I just think it's going to be the T. Martin situation. You're just going to have to wait for it to happen, and I think it eventually will happen. And at the end of the day, I just think that's a very, very good job that's turned into a very, very bad job. But I do believe Jimbo, you can't turn down that money. Because let's say he gets fired halfway through the deal and they owe him the $75 million. When you have a national title on your resume, you can easily get a job. It's the same reason why Spurrier goes to the Redskins. Let's say he flames out, he's right back in college. It's the same reason that Keno took all that money to go to Providence, knew he'd probably get fired, but you got seven figures to get fired, and boom, you're right back in coaching again. So when that much money's on the line and you have some credibility, take the money, take the leap, hope it works. If it doesn't, you have enough integrity and resume to get a job somewhere else. So I can't fault him for it at all.
Finally, Zubin, we'll let you go with this. LiAngelo Ball has been pulled out of UCLA by his dad. This is a guy that was not a top 150 recruit. This is a guy that certainly, according to the recruiting services, the least talented of the three. How's this going to end for LiAngelo Ball? Dad saying, hey, we're going to get him ready for the NBA draft. Let's slow down here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. I think at the end of the day, the person I look at it, I'm most happy for in this situation, because obviously LeVar tends to take most of the attention, and you know, obviously that's the plan, and we're just sort of feeding into it, and that's okay. We're okay with it because he brings clicks and attention, and he's okay with it because he needs the attention. So it's actually a mutual admiration society, to be honest with you. Even the people that are tired of him realize what it can really do for the media industry and those that cover him. The person I feel most happy for is Steve Alford. He can just get out from under this thing all the way through. He got Lonzo for 1 year. He got to the Sweet 16. He put himself right back in the Southern California recruiting waters, and he's going to be fine. I just think this is probably better than just the indecision and wondering what's this going to mean for the other two Ball brothers, and am I at the whims of LeVar, and I can't have this guy control my program, especially when I gave back a contract extension, and now I'm back in the good graces of the fans. I think he just realizes that he had a great year. There is so much great talent in Southern California. Is he going to find another Lonzo Ball? Probably not. I don't think he is. But there's plenty of incredible talent in Southern California that Ben Howland was able to get guys like, you know, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love and all these guys to campus. There's no reason Steve Alford can't do the same thing. It's fertile recruiting ground. They'll be fine. And I don't think he'll ever admit it, because having Ball a part of his program raised the profile of UCLA incredibly, despite all the obstacles. But deep down, I think if you caught him in a private second and said, what do you think? I think he would take a huge exhale and say, this is a huge relief for me. I know Steve is not beloved, Trent, from what I can gather, in the old black and gold. But I think for him as a person and as a coach moving forward, it's probably something that he's probably happy about.
Great stuff as always, Zubin. Thank you. You have a great week, pal. Thank you.
You got it. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zubin.
Okay, there you go. Zubin Mehenta, ESPN, right here on the Big Talker 1700. Always great stuff out of Zubin. Yeah, that Ball story is just comical now. I don't know, Trent. Look, I've never seen a father act like this. Look, I remember Marinovich, but his dad wasn't like this. He just raised his kid to be a robo quarterback. And it cost him dearly. This is just from another planet, just by the way he's handling all this stuff.
Well, and just the oddity of it, because this is a guy that D'Angelo's not very good, Jim. He was ranked the 227th player by 24/7 coming out of high school. He wasn't in the Rivals' top 150. He's not very good. And now he's talking about it. Well, he even said it before the year that he's going to be at UCLA 1 year, and then he's going to go off to the NBA. Mm-hmm. He's not. Yeah. He's not. He's not even good enough to be a D-League player, Jim. And as good as the other two brothers are, this is one that had to be treated differently. And the concern is he isn't being treated differently. He's being treated like a star, and the kid isn't a star. Feel bad for him. Really do.
I do, too. I do, too. Quick break. We're coming right back, everybody, right here on the Big Talker 1700.
Welcome back. It's Jimmy B and TC. We'll take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Time right now to talk with our man, Wolfgang. You can find him on Twitter at Wolfgang Hawkeye, and he joins us here on 1700. Wolfgang, well, you're Mr. Lumberjack today. How's the tree cutting going?
I don't know if people have done that. I'm out of breath. I apologize for that now. But, yeah, a 30-inch, or a 30-inch. Yeah, that'd be nice. Wouldn't it be a 30-inch birch tree? That'd work easy. 30-foot birch tree. Our neighbors are helping us. I told you I was worried it was going to fall on our house, their house, the car, the pavement, and break the driveway. Man, it's actually been kind of fun. Have you ever worked a chainsaw?
No. I leave that up to my dad. I am not to be handled with things like that. I've had some issues. I'm not handy.
Now I've met you. You have both arms.
Yes.
You have all 10 fingers.
Yes. You know why?
What do you mean? What did you do? I need to hear this. Come on now. I know we're all sports all the time.
Yes.
What did you do? You cut off a finger?
No. Nothing like. Well, just last week I was telling Jimmy B. So I'm putting salt in the water softener. Hand slips off the bag. I punch myself in the face and I draw blood.
Wait, I saw that on your
Twitter.
I didn't know what that was about.
Yeah. That's how terrible I'm at things like that. Then I had the Christmas lights up over the weekend. Tuesday, one of the little trees had fallen down, and so I grabbed it to pull it back up. Well, I grabbed it and there was a short in the wire, and I electrocuted myself. So I am not handy at all.
Who am I singing with right now? Who is this? Is this a new and fun trick on it?
Well, I'm always fun, Wolfgang.
I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm a fun person.
Anybody that knows me knows that I'm a fun person. I like to party. I also don't like to do things around the house because it ends poorly. It's kind of a
We need to open our own tree service.
Oh, good God.
$1,400 to do that.
$1,400?
I believe so.
$1,400.
Does that sound good for you? Part-time work? What do you want to do?
Yeah, let's do it. You can do the work. I'll be the foreman of the crew. How's that sound?
You can tell me what to do.
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds good. It's just like radio, right?
Yes. Well, boy, Wolfgang. Let's go back over the weekend and
real quick, can I just tell you that I'm a fan of the unranked Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yes. Oh, it has been there's been a lot of conversation of the unranked 7-5 Iowa Hawkeyes. You can't lose by 30.
Unranked Iowa Hawkeyes. How many times did they say that, Trent? Oh, these unranked Iowa Hawkeyes. Give us at least a little credit. It's pathetic, Trent, that over these years we have no respect. Mm-hmm. And this 14. I don't know if you wanted to go here, and I don't care, Trent. All right, you can boss me around when we decide to open up this tree business.
Okay. Yeah.
Right now, give me this. Yeah, just give me this for a second. The unranked Iowa Hawkeyes. All right, we kicked Ohio State's bleep.
Mm-hmm.
We lost to Penn State, who is what, number 8? Number 9? Okay, we lost to them on a walk-off.
Yeah.
We don't suck, especially at Kinnick. So do your homework, you freaking jerk. It's pissing me off, Trent.
The conversation would be, would Alabama ever lose to Iowa 55-24.
Let's do it. Now I want to do it.
They're not coming here, though. They're not coming to Iowa City. It'll never happen. I mean, it's an exercise in futility because they're never coming up here. They're never playing that. They're busy scheduling their one difficult non-conference game every single year. They played it in a neutral site, and it's 80% fans of Alabama that are there every single year. Oh, we played a tough game. Well, Florida State, we see, proved not to be very good, but they do that, and then they have Mercer and Fresno and Colorado State, and that's what they do, and they only have to play 8 conference games. But that's the reality. Alabama's never going to play a non-conference night game in the Kinnick Stadium. It'll never happen. They're never coming to Ohio State to play.
Non-conference night game, I agree with you. But you got to get out of this reality thing, okay? Reality is not a fun place to be, Trent. You got to get out of there. I don't buy reality, and I don't rent reality.
Okay.
Let's have some fun here. What if they did come here? Miami came here once. Remember that back in the day, or are you too young?
No, I remember it well. 24-7, Miami won. The U, absolutely.
Okay, and there was a hurricane. Wasn't there a hurricane back in the day? So we all kind of felt sorry for them. So it wasn't like a great environment. Would you remember? Do you remember that at all? I can't even remember what year that was.
I think it was 1990.
Okay. But that sounds about right. But I want Bama. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. And this whole 4-team playoff, you know what we're going to see now, Trent. It's they get the benefit of the doubt every freaking time. Nick Saban has picked a perfect time to be a coach at a perfect program. He's a stud, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did a nice job in Michigan State. Not great. We'd all agree. He didn't do great. Didn't do great at the Miami Dolphins. I think he was around 500. Although, had they gotten a quarterback, look out. They had a chance, and I'm not sure if you knew this. I used to listen to Miami Sports Radio back in the day. They had a really good chance and probably would have gotten him. I believe they brought him into the doctors. They had more than a chance at Drew Brees. And they passed on him because of his shoulder or what was it?
Yes, remember? Yeah, it was a shoulder. You're right.
Imagine Nick Saban. God, can we just get him to the NBA? Can we go back blankety-blank years and just have the Miami Dolphins hire him and get Drew Brees? Because I want him out of this frickin'. I'm sick of him, man. I'm sick of the way he talks with his hands. I'm sick of the fact that they get the benefit of the doubt over everybody. I'm sick of the fact that they're bashing. You know what? And I take this back. Tiff was saying, they're bashing the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're bashing the Iowa Hawkeyes on ESPN right now. They're not really. It sounds like it, and it sounds like that to the rest of the nation. I think you will agree. But what they were saying is you don't lose to Iowa by that many points.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah. If they would have lost in the same fashion that Michigan did their year before. Do you know when Iowa beat Michigan 14-13 in 2016? They were ranked number 2 going into that game. Do you remember what they fell to?
After losing to Iowa?
After losing the week after in the next college football playoff rankings. You remember where they fell?
I forgot. I met Toby Keith at his bar, and I watched that game, and I just love Toby Keith, so I totally forgotten that. I'm not even a country fan, but I met him. It was fun.
They fell to number 3. They fell one spot by
Are
losing.
Are you kidding me?
At Iowa.
Okay, so what I said was real and truth. So explain that to people, please.
Well, it's the fashion that they lost, and I completely agree. I saw it. I've watched that game now a half dozen times again because it's so unbelievable. You know it's unbelievable, Wolfgang. The fashion that that game was, that wasn't reality. That was some universe that I've never lived in. Iowa winning in that fashion, then Ohio State, the way that they bounced back, the way that they've come back since then, the way that they've dominated people, but it's still there. It still happened. We all still saw that. And that's why I don't have a big problem with this. Now, there's plenty
a big problem. Now, here we go with words again, remember?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go with words. You say a big problem. Do you have a problem?
I do, because you know what? Right now, if Ohio State played Alabama, I think Ohio State beats them right now. Now, here's the other part of it. They're not going to play until January 1st. There's a month for Alabama to heal up. If they're playing a semifinal game, though, next Saturday, I think Ohio State would beat them. I think Ohio State would beat Alabama. But the game is not going to be played there. It's going to be played a month from now. And at that point, Alabama's going to be healthy. They're going to be hungry. They're going to have Clemson, the team that beat them for a national title. Saban has everything that he wants. Everybody talking down at Alabama that they don't. There's all these different things. He's going to be able to play with this all week long. I think we're going to get an incredible game out of this. And another part, you know what? I don't have I'm not too fired up about Ohio State getting left out.
Well, get fired up. I like when you're fired up. Please, be fired up.
But the reason that I'm not is they're 11-2. Now, there's people that
Good
say
point.
If
yes.
you if you take the Oklahoma game away and you replace it with Mercer, them at 12-1.
Let me tell you who agrees with that, Trent. Me.
Yeah.
Why should they? Why should anybody ever? Okay, you know I'm an Oklahoma fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's my. Okay, I love all the Iowa teams and then Oklahoma.
Yep.
Okay. Why in God's green earth should you ever? I respect Ohio State and Oklahoma so much for playing each other, I can't even tell you. Why would you ever do that again?
Yeah.
If Ohio State decided to play, let's say, Indiana or Michigan State or someone instead of that and just got a nice win, why would you? They're like crapping on the game. We're going to have less and less meaningful games at the beginning of the year, Trent. Okay, you love the schedule stuff, all that bleep, okay? I've never heard this from you, your opinion on football. What would you do if you were Ohio State right now? Would you ever, ever schedule an Oklahoma, somebody like that again?
Nope.
Serious, be honest with me.
Nope. Not at all. Not at all. I would still schedule something, but I wouldn't have it be Oklahoma. I'd schedule somebody like
Michigan State, Indiana.
Well, for Ohio State's purposes. For Ohio State's purposes. If I'm Ohio State and I'm playing Oklahoma, I'll play Texas Tech. All right, well, we'll play Texas Tech. We'll play a Big 12 school, but we're not going to play the best Big 12 school. That's silly. Why would we do that? But we'll make it decent. We'll give it something where people can get kind of excited about it and you know sell some more season ticket packages, those kind of things. But we've seen it. It doesn't make sense.
What did the committee, Trent, what did the committee just say to us? Let's not watch the first month of college football.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they just told us. Because had Ohio State not played Oklahoma and played Indiana or Michigan State and won by 7 over Michigan State or won by 17 over Indiana or 14 over Indiana, they'd be in the college football playoff.
Yes. Now, you're not going to schedule a conference game, but if they would have scheduled NC State, if they would have scheduled a team like that, a mid-level, an Ole Miss SEC team, yeah, that's what you do. I think that's the way you do it now. We're not going to play these heavyweights. We've seen Ohio State now schedule Texas. Remember those games? USC. We've seen them now schedule Oklahoma.
Who are you talking about?
Ohio State.
They scheduled who now?
Texas. Back in the day, they played Texas. Those were some great games. They played USC. They played Oklahoma. But why? Why play those games? If it's not going to be, if a loss is going to keep you out of the college, if you lose that game and you have to be perfect, then why play that game? That's what we learned. That's what we found out with the way this was set up. It's as simple as that.
Or did we? I keep hearing everybody, and you'll have to tell me on this. Like I told you, I was cut down a 30-inch birch. I've missed so much crap. It's unbelievable. And that's why it's so good to talk to you right now,
yes,
Trent.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I was talking to the tree, man. I was just like embarrassing. But at what point? Okay, so how do you schedule? You're the master. You're the dude at scheduling basketball, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do now if you're an elite team? We can go with Iowa and Iowa State. What do you schedule? Or Oklahoma, please, for me and my family. They would love to hear your opinion on that because I don't think those guys should schedule each other anymore if they're not going to give them credit for scheduling. Ohio State and Oklahoma are playing. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
And now because Ohio State decided to do it and make us all happy and see a great game at the beginning of the year, they're screwed.
So here's Oklahoma, what they have coming up. Next year, it is UCLA. They have a home-and-home with UCLA. Along with it, Florida Atlantic and Army. Okay, fine.
UCLA, why is that going to be hard, Trent? That new coach?
Right,
you don't know what you're going to see.
When you schedule that game, you don't know that. I mean, this game was scheduled 5-6 years ago, so you don't know.
Well, I respect UCLA, even though they fired their coach. I respect that coach, actually.
Yeah, Moore's fine. It just didn't work. But
it didn't work. It didn't work.
They have Tennessee coming up with a home-and-home. They have Nebraska in a home-and-home. They have Michigan with a home-and-home. They have LSU. You know what, Oklahoma?
Why are they doing this, Trent? You go. You go for my family right now. Why are they doing this? No reason if the committee is not going to give them credit.
Well, there is a reason. There is a reason to do this because the Big 12, we have seen, continually does not get enough credit. And though you play a true round robin and now you play a stupid conference championship on top of it, we see that the Big 12...
No, Trent, you're wrong.
Well, how so?
I agree with you. The Big 12 does not get enough credit.
Yes.
I'm talking Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They do get enough credit. They don't need those games. True or false?
I believe they still do.
No. Do you agree? Had they not lost to Ohio State, if they lose to Ohio State, they're screwed. They have to have those games Oklahoma does not have to have those games. I agree. They're different. Oklahoma, and when Texas is good, they don't have to have those crazy arse games. Now it sounds like we're not agreeing.
Well, I mean, it's...
I'm not talking TCU. I'm not talking Baylor.
Sure.
Talking Oklahoma and Texas.
Yes, they are at a different level. And I truly believe we're at a spot now where it doesn't make sense for these teams, the uber elite, the blue bloods, for them to schedule this way. There's no reason for it. Because if you have the name brand, you get in. You have the name brand and you have a one behind your name or zero in the L column, you're in. It's as simple as that.
And you like that.
No, I hate that. I want some more critical thinking. But we're talking about this year. We're not talking big picture. We're talking this year. These are two different conversations.
Why aren't we talking big picture? Somebody's got to figure it out before teams get screwed and screwed over and over again because their name is Baylor, because their name is TCU, because their name is Iowa or Iowa State. You know, Iowa is never going to get in the Final Four with a one-loss team. Never. And you damn well know that. Right?
So.
But if our name was Alabama, if we took the name out and we did that blind sample or whatever you talked about, a week ago or 2 weeks ago or whoever talks about that, I was not getting into the Final Four with one loss over a blue blood,
mm-hmm.
even if everybody believes we're better. It's just not going to happen.
Just look at Oklahoma last year. Oklahoma last year opened up the year, lost that game to Houston, lost 2 weeks later at home against Ohio State, and then from there, they blew everybody out. They dominated through their run all the way to a 9-0 regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They were nowhere close to being in the college football playoff. But if you replace
those... And they shouldn't have been. And I'm not saying they should have been, actually.
But if you replace those games with Houston and Ohio State, and instead you play Texas, Arlington, and Oklahoma A&M, they're in. So what we've learned is the thing that matters most still is there's no critical thinking. It's what happens underneath the L column. And if you're a program like an Iowa or Wisconsin, it has to be a zero. And if you're a program like Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, it has to be a one.
And let me guess, you're like Dace. Let me guess, Trent, you're like Dace. You don't want it to expand, I'm guessing.
No. No, four is great.
Dace didn't want four. And then all of a sudden...
See, I've always wanted four. I've always wanted four. Four I always felt like was the perfect number.
Why not eight?
Because you devalue the regular season too much. Eight.
Oh, for the love of God.
It does. It does.
How much does it devalue that you actually get the teams in there that deserve to be in there? We're sitting there poo-pooing Alabama and Ohio State. Ohio State, quite frankly, could win it all. Alabama could win it all. I think, and I've said for a long time, I think Clemson is going to win it all. I'm hoping Oklahoma, but I could be wrong. What's wrong with more teams in this sucker? And throw out the crap teams that aren't even in our, universe. Why play them? We're always worried about, concussions now, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Worried about concussions. I am, too. I get that. I watch these hits, and I'm just like, it's not even necessarily college football anymore, Trent. I watch the NFL, and I'm just like, my God, these guys are getting hit. And I'm just like, can they walk ever? And I had a cousin that got to go to Monday Night Football with the guy from Michigan, the old guy, did it with, I can't remember his name. But anyway, he's a Michigan grad. I think he did.
Deardorff?
Yeah, Deardorff. He can't walk, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He cannot even walk up the stairs. They have to, carry him upstairs. And it's sad. You don't want that. So you have to think about the number of games you want these guys playing,
mm-hmm.
but you also want the best team to win with the best resume, with the best record, with the team you think is the best. And I just get sick of the now you tell me, I didn't get to watch this, as I told you. Herb Street walked out, yeah?
I heard that. I didn't see that, no.
So I'm going to go to YouTube and find this, because I keep hearing this. I don't know if this happened. Nobody is talking about this. So Herb Street walks out. He's a hypocrite, because you know what he was saying before? He said, Ohio State is going to get in. I think that Ohio State is going to get in, Herb Street says.
Yeah.
But I think Alabama deserves to be in. So what's he walking off for?
Because it's his team. It's his team. He's
no,
an Ohio
he
State
said,
grad.
He said he would put Alabama in. What do you
walking up for?
Oh, he's
got it right.
He's probably just posturing for his buddies, you know, so he doesn't get yelled at.
That's good TV.
Yeah.
If anybody saw it, man, that's good TV. I want to watch that. That's good TV. If he gets up and walks off and then comes back, ooh.
Hey, Wolfgang, from one disaster to another, I got to get your thoughts on this. What's going on with Iowa? What's going on with the Hawks? They lose in hoops again. We're not talking about the Pinstripe Bowl. We're talking basketball. They play Indiana tonight. Is this season over? Because it feels like it's over to me.
Well, like I said, 9-game winning streak starting with Indiana.
Well, no. You said
and,
Penn State.
I'm looking forward to this.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm sorry. You cut me off like you always do. Jeez.
You said Penn State is when that 9-game winning streak is going to start, and you can never get over the hump at home against Penn State. Wolfgang, this is a bad basketball team.
Wrestling is a tough sport, okay?
Oh, we're going wrestling.
And Kale Sanderson, he knows what he's doing over there.
The Lady Hawks are off to a good start in hoops.
Hmm.
Is that going to get us through the summertime? Or the wintertime, I mean?
No, we're going to figure this out. We're going to figure this team out one way or another. It's going to be fun. Now, right now, obviously, it looks like we're not going to make, and I say we. And I told Tim, you know who says we more often than they used to? A guy named Trent Condon. What's up with that?
No, I never say it as it pertains to as a fan.
With Iowa State and you and I, you have said we.
No, that's not true. That is not true. What I say is a fan will say this, we blah, blah, blah. See, you don't listen enough. You don't listen.
Yeah, you're
I
not
think
a fan.
You know what? Yeah. You have wood chips in your ears. I think that's the problem.
You know what? First thing you've ever said is true. Yeah, I can't hear a thing with that chainsaw going off in my ears. But you're right. Yeah, this team, I'm not ready to give up on them, Trent. I know we probably should.
Yes.
I mean, to give up on them in terms of making the NCAA tournament outright, it's almost done. But let's see how much better we get. Let's see how much better. Connor McCaffrey is going to be, practicing this coming week, right?
Yes, yeah.
And it's going to be fun to see what we've said. We don't think he's, All-American or anything.
No.
We did not say that. Neither of us said that. We never said he's going to be an All-American. But he adds a puzzle piece, and it's a nice, big puzzle piece that understands the offense, that knows his dad, that you could maybe put Bohannon at the two, get more shots for him, blah, blah, blah. We're going to learn, and I talked about last week about how is basketball rocket science or isn't it? I'm starting to believe it may be, like I told you last week. So we'll see. With Connor McCaffrey and what he adds, that's going to be a fun talking point, I think. Do you find that fun at all or no?
No, I'm with you. I'm with you because I think we both said when Connor McCaffrey, we found out that he was going to be taking over and that Christian Williams was transferring away. We both felt that Iowa was going to be a better team, a better basketball
team. Yes, but also what did we say?
Just that they were going to be a better team because of that.
Yes, 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 because we thought he was better than Christian Williams.
And then
I don't think we professed this. You tell me if we did. And I had it in my brain. I'm not sure if I ever said it. We didn't put into fact people getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that or no?
Yes, yeah.
Did we
yeah,
say that?
Right.
I don't know.
No, we didn't. And that's the thing. He gets mono, and, here they are. They don't have a backup point guard, and they have Brady Ellingson out there trying to be the backup point guard, and he's not a backup point guard. And that's the reality of where we are. The reality is, Wolfgang, we're done. We're out of time. You be good, all right?
I'm going to keep talking. You hang up on me, man.
All right. What, are you going to act like you're still talking so you don't have to get back to your tree?
Let me tell you, Trent, why I don't like you. There's a lot of things I can tell you why I don't like you.
Get out of here.
All right, see you, man. Bye-bye.
Wolfgang checking in. Always fun with him. The college football playoff are set. It'll be Alabama, Clemson, and, of course, Oklahoma and Georgia in the two semifinals. Iowa in the Pinstripe Bowl, and Iowa State and Memphis. And we got you covered with all the bowl action. We'll keep it right here on 1700. And making our way down to Memphis. Looking forward to that and following Iowa State. That'll do it for the program here today. We are out of time. Coming up tonight here on 1700, we have Westwood One coverage of Monday Night Football, Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday Night Football. And decent game tonight, right? Steelers, Bengals, Cincinnati trying to hold on. Maybe they could be a team that sneaks in the back door. gets into the playoffs. It was an ugly start to them. We'll see what they can do. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow starting at noon with the Ken Miller Show with myself, Trent Cotta, then 4 to 6 here with Jimmy B and TC. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening in. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy Monday Night Football tonight right here on 1700.